I'm Richard Porter.
I'm Johnny Smith.
And this is Smith and Sniff, a podcast in which two friends talk about cars and many other things.
Hey, 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 it's quiz time. It's quiz time. I've got a micro quiz for you.
Oh, okay.
It's called the Kia quiz.
Okay.
Okay. Is the answer A, the Stonic, B, the Kia Stinger, C, the Kia Starmer? Which one do you drive?
Is that it?
That's it. Stonic, Stinger or Starmer? Which one do you drive to work in? Or be on it, down off of the back lanes?
Kia Stinger's quite a nice car, isn't it?
I love the Stinger.
I can't remember. Have I driven the Stonic? No. I guess I haven't. Quite like the look of the Stonic, you know. It's got a sort of chunkiness to it that's appealing in its own kind of way, if you like that kind of thing. There's a Hyundai that's out called the Bayou or Bayan or something. Have you seen this?
The Bayern Tapestry, the Bayern Munich Football Club.
I think it's that's it. The Hyundai Bayern Munich Football Club.
It's endorsed by all the players. They've just bought it. They've just bought a chunk of Hyundai and said, on the proviso that we make one called the Bayern Munich.
And but what does it cost to develop a new car these days? $1 billion or something. So for footballers, they could just pool their resources, develop a brand new car, and then wherever it goes, it promotes their football club.
Yeah. A bit like cricketers getting
free X-types,
like we were talking about in previous podcasts. Hey, but I also heard that Lewis Hamilton is chipping in to buy Chelsea Football Club off of definitely not crooked Roman Akrapovic.
Chipping in,
and I thought, oh my gosh, is he that wealthy?
Well, I think he is, isn't he?
You can just buy Chelsea with Serena Williams and another bloke that he met down the pub.
Yeah,
really?
Just
when I say another bloke, I don't mean Serena Williams is a bloke. I mean just.
There's a third one, isn't there? Though, who's I think leading it, but it's a guy. It's like a friend of a friend that he met at someone's birthday drinks in an all bar one that's about 10 years ago, and they just kept in touch.
And they were like, "Listen, I've got an idea. I came back from the gym, and I just thought, you know what? Chris Evans buys boozers now and again. Jeremy makes his own beer and he's got a farm. I might buy a really expensive football club. Do you know, I don't even care about football. I don't even care if they succeed or not. I just buy it. It'd be nice, wouldn't it?
Just for fun. Just cause
somewhere to sit at the weekend.
Yeah, something to do, isn't it? It's a hobby. People go, what have you been up to? I don't know, not a lot. Obviously, the racing's pretty much taking up a lot of my time and I have to go to the gym quite a bit. I bought Chelsea Football Club. Did I mention that? Yeah, it's going all right.
It's good. I've been learning some amazing racist chants. It's been really cool. Enjoyed it. Yeah, it's just a bit.
Yeah. Went and sat in the crowd with a bunch of absolutely insufferable assholes for a bit. I'm not saying Chelsea fans are insufferable arseholes, only some of them, but I'm sure you can apply that to almost any football club.
But I find myself opening my bedroom window in the middle of the night, pointing at a fox or anything that might be moving and shouting, "Who are you? Who are you? Who are you?
Who's the wanker in the red?"
Yes, exactly. Yes, it's either Father Christmas or a fox. Yes. That's my Christmas Eve sewn up this year. Bloody hell, that's going to be amazing. Who are you? Who's the wanker in the red? Who are you? Oh, listen, mate, it's Father Christmas. Just stop pissing around and ruining the surprise. Go away.
Sod off. I'm busy. Lewis Hamilton potentially buying Chelsea. I don't know where we're up to with that. I'll be honest, I haven't been paying that much attention. But
no.
Yes.
He's just copying Ryan Reynolds, but with slightly more money, it seems. Yeah.
I wonder, though, how much disposable income Lewis Hamilton has, because I can't remember what he earns, because it's not just from Mercedes, it'll be from sponsorship deals and stuff.
I was going to ask you this, because I didn't know. I figured you'd know.
No, I should know. Should I? I don't know. Is it my job? Possibly. But I do know it's quite expensive being a Formula One driver, because apart from that, apparently their life insurance is really expensive.
Well, yeah, I would expect. I mean, my life insurance is expensive, so why shouldn't theirs be?
Yeah.
I don't risk anything anymore. I don't know. When I used to do TV, it was risky. It was expensive.
Well, the other thing is, having a private jet, which Lewis Hamilton does, has got to be horribly expensive. Because they just eat money, don't they? There's no such thing as having a cheap jet. It's just not possible.
No.
Every day you're going to be getting calls. Yeah, Mr. Hamilton, I'm afraid we need to polish your jet. And you're like, okay, yeah, go ahead and polish it. I've got some turtle wax in the shed, actually. You can go and grab it. No. You have to use special aeroplane polish, and it's £9,000 a litre. And you go, oh, fuck's sake. All right, go on then. So I don't imagine that he actually has as much disposable income as you might think between all of the special aeroplane screen wash that he has to buy and life insurance and...
And Monaco renting, is there Monaco related rent?
Well, now, he's in Switzerland, I think, now.
Oh, is he? Yeah. What, a little bit more boring than Monaco?
Yeah, for people who find Monaco not weird and boring enough.
That's honestly got to be on the tourist board literature.
Monte Carlo, now 17% more weird and boring. Have you ever been to Monaco and just wandered around a bit and gone, I think I'd rather just pay the tax. I'd rather live up the coast in France.
Yeah.
And just pay tax, but enjoy the beauty of the coast.
I'm definitely, well, and also having talked to Mr. Jason Plato about life in Monaco, which might not be an accurate reflection on life in Monaco, but I...
Yeah, this is through the lens of Jason Plato.
So I'm not going to please don't take that as verbatim. But I have to say, I came away thinking the same thing, just because you're saving money, it's your life. Like, you're restricting your life because you're going to save a few quid. That just seems a bit like shallow, odd.
Mm.
I worry about the ratio of twats as well.
Twat environment, definitely. Imagine the amount of sort of leathery, horrible people. And
it's a song by John Lennon, Imagine. All the Monaco twats. I'm not sure that you actually can.
Who blows and eye lifts and you just go, just shit off a lot of you. Pay some tax, you stingy twats. But that's just me. I don't know. Maybe it's more pleasant than it seems on the surface.
Maybe we're being awful.
Potato doesn't live there anymore, though, does he?
No, he just got told to live there for 2 years, was it? I think. Yeah, I think he just did a 2 year stint.
It wasn't a tax thing, it was just a prank. Oh, Jason, you got going. It's also the fact that you can imagine how much money you do have as, say, a Formula One driver, and yet, essentially, you just have to live in a flat.
Yeah, and you don't own it.
For the money that you're spending here, you could have a vast mansion in some beautiful part of the world, but no. Yeah. You can live in a flat with overlooking some other flats with a very, very slender little bit of sea visible between two buildings.
Yeah, what is that about? I mean, the more we talk about it, the more it seems ridiculous.
Yeah. I suppose if you're earning, I don't know, $20 million a year, the tax potentially on that is, I suppose, near as damn it half, isn't it? Well, it's not. It's 40% plus... But you've got to pay NI as well, haven't you? Which is it's quite weird to think that Lewis Hamilton still has to pay national insurance if he's a UK taxpayer, which I guess he's not because he lives in Switzerland. But if he comes back here, I'd be like, what, NI? Oh, God, really? Okay. Well,
there's got to be... Also, it's not a very good place to drive if you're interested in cars, is it? I see people buy supercars in Monaco and then you realise that supercars don't fit in Monaco. So it's a bit of an odd combination, isn't it?
But then you are quite close to, all those sort of Colls up into the mountains, aren't you?
Collins in the mountain?
Collins, yeah, yeah.
Go up and see one Coll and he's like, go and see the other one.
I do think when you get onto those hairpin-y sort of mountain roads, they're not fun to drive. They just become annoying. Because if you're going up, it's just lots of low gear.
Yeah.
And if you're going down, you're just like, oh, fuck my brakes. It's not enjoyable. You're just fighting gravity. There's much nicer roads to drive than one of those hairpin-y sort of mountain roads.
It'd be good in a light car, but I think if you were something a little bit roidy and front heavy, like an RS Audi... I think it would just get... The brakes would start stinking, so you and your passenger would get out smelling of old mackerel. Yeah. And then, what, so we're, it's true, though, isn't it? Because brakes do smell like old mackerel, I always think.
Yeah, yeah.
And the thing would be sort of nosediving when you were trying to neatly thread it round a corner. What you want is, you want something nice and narrow and light, so it's not too hard on the brakes, doesn't need a ton of power, but can get off the line reasonably well.
Hmm.
I'm trying to think. Yeah, I was thinking Renault 5 Gordini.
Oh.
But probably a little bit leany on the suspension. Probably should have gone for something a little
bit leany
more.
Gordini.
Leany Gordini.
See more from her later. I'd definitely go something that's a bit lower and lighter.
Yeah, but okay, something.
I don't know. Do you know what? I bet you'd have the most fun in, like, a rented Clio or something. Because first of all, you wouldn't give a toss about the brakes because they belong to Hertz, and secondly, it's just you're sort of, you're not desperately trying to use all of the power and handling because it hasn't got that much of either. But so it's sort of more amusing.
Oh, Peugeot 205 GTI.
Ooh,
how about that?
Yeah,
very light, good throttle response.
Yeah,
frisky, narrow, fits on the road. Still has a very attractive bum. And that lovely big glass sunroof. So when you know you have to stop at a couple of corners to let the mackerel smell go away, but also take a couple of piss vista pictures. You'd also need a piss while you were there, because of course that's the point of a piss vista. And then you put it on Instagram, a bit like you were talking to me the other day about it was about Ream, wasn't it? The Ream circuit.
Yeah.
The obligatory photo.
The obligatory photo.
It is, isn't it?
Well, I was just doing exactly what I think 205 GTIs for a fuel injected car. They have a slightly claggy throat, don't they? When they don't there's sort of a slight when you just from
they
not,
do.
Idle. They'd have a claggy idle or claggy initial rev response.
Because you are spot on there. It is it's a little bit like they could be lactose intolerant, but they're not willing to admit it.
Yeah. Or it's just, is your car okay? Yeah, it's just, it had a double espresso and some toast just before I switched it on. And look, it's
and
just
hasn't had a glass of water yet.
Yeah. I think it has allergies. Now the sun's come out. I think it's got allergies. It just, and then it's fine.
It's hiding the allergies, isn't it? It's living in denial. It's very, you are good with that. It's true. It's very true. The exhaust note isn't indicative, I don't think, of the smoothness of the way the engine pulls.
I can't hear a 205 exhaust in my head. I'm trying to think. It's sort of, they're slightly raspy.
Yes, metallic. And
yes, metallic.
Almost like there's an exhaust bracket at the back, slightly loose.
Yes.
Almost. I don't mean that in a. I don't mean to detract from the amazement and the allure of the 205 GTI, but it's almost like there is a bit of a raw, rough and ready, come on then, come and have a go if you think you're fucking hard enough, come on.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
A bit about it.
No, they're brilliant. They are proper hot hatchback in that I quite like, in fact, I love the hot hatchbacks that feel like the engine is a little bit too big for the car, like it's trying to burst out. Like, and the,
like,
and the 205
like an
GTI
alien
is like that.
From the chest of a person.
Exactly.
Yes.
And I think the best of the hot Clios have that feeling about them.
They do, actually.
And,
yeah, they do.
I'm trying to think what else does. It's like Golf GTIs don't. I like Golf GTIs, but they don't have that feeling. They're a bit too sort of, you know, almost like they refined that out, whereas Peugeot and Renault like to leave it in because it's an interesting sensation for the enthusiastic driver.
Yeah, my mate, when we were 18, had a Citroen ZX Volcane.
Ooh.
Yeah, a bit of a rare groove now, I would have thought.
Yeah.
And he realised it was a lot cheaper to insure than a 205 GTI, yet basically was a 205 GTI. Had a terrific oil usage habit, but it was a proper, you know, blue plume. On every startup job, there was always a blue plume.
Quite a good name for some kind of land speed record attempt car. The blue plume. Why is it called that? Well, it does use a lot of oil as I'm spearing across the salt flats.
I'm actually topping it up with a small funnel when I go over about 230.
800 miles an hour.
I get a face full of 1040 weight. It's the ZX Volcane. It was actually a bit of a weapon. I wonder how many are left.
Well,
now.
I just went on Caro Classic to see if there's any sale. And
of course you did.
There's a ZX 1.4 SX. Now, I bet that is a lovely car to drive because they were of that era when even the basic ones, the ones you might get as a hire car, were just delightful. It's $2,000. And it's a couple of small issues to note, the advert says. Sunroof is stuck and it has a CV joint click on turning. We'll try to resolve both of these if I get chance.
Oh, that's really charming and honest.
I think I'd just commit to either fixing them or not. 106,000 miles, $2,000. It's got some of those really terrible aftermarket wheel trims that sort of look like Ronal teddy bears. Oh, no, wait, it has. Oh. I beg your pardon. It's got one on one front wheel.
It's only got one.
No, wait, it's got two. I'm going through the pictures as we speak. It's got these faux Ronal teddy bear look trims on the front wheels and what I believe to be the correct factory Citroën wheel trims on the back wheels.
Why do people do this? Why do people do this? Like wearing odd shoes and not referencing it. Just can't do it.
But it's, the thing is, I'm sure they only sold those Halfords wheel trims in a set of four, so why would you just not put them on all of the wheels and at least it looks consistent if they're toss?
It's just a shit idea. It's like, Richard, you've got a Dr. Martin on your left foot and a moccasin on your right. Do you know this? And you're out in a public place.
I think it actually looks quite good.
I'm all right with it. I'm okay with
it. You remember what the adverts used to say? Never mix wheel trims across different axles. You're like, no, that's not what it said at all, you probably... they're kind of, it's funny how when you don't see cars around anymore, you're able to sort of reassess the design because familiarity hasn't sort of dulled it.
Really true.
And the ZX, not a bad looking car. Quite sort of, it's weird how at the time I think people thought it was maybe a bit bland, and actually you look at it now and you kind of go, it's quite Citroen-y looking. I think it's because it sort of sits a bit high at the back.
It has a tiptoe on the back, doesn't it? A little bit of a tiptoe.
Yeah. It's got a bit of a sort of Adrian Newey stance, where it's just nose down.
Is he a bit of a nose down?
Oh, a lot of his racing cars in recent times have had the sort of nose, we're talking millimetres because they're F1 cars, but yeah, nose down.
It's a shame that it's only millimetres.
Well, rather than, it's like a foot and a half.
I'd quite like if it was a sort of 70s Street Machine cover car. And it, at the detriment of the entire drive and competitive nature of the car, he's like, no, but that's the way I want it to sit. That's the way it looks best. So leave it.
Oh, my holy geez. Sorry, I got distracted. Look, Caro Classic. Still, in their auctions, there's a 505 GTI coming up. It's only got 27,000 miles on it.
Really?
It's an auto. But that car might be all right. So I mean, it's not really a sporty car, is it? Despite the name, it's just that. Look at that! That's a handsome thing.
I think it is a good car. That's one of those cars I didn't know how handsome it was until they'd all gone.
Yeah. Do you know what? There's a side profile picture of this 505 here, and it's silver. And I swear, it just at a very quick glance. You can see its genes coming through because it looks like... Do you remember there was a show car called the Ferrari Pinin, which was a four-door Ferrari? And it was very pretty.
Yeah, and, I do. It was pretty.
And you can see a little bit of that sort of gene pool of the Pinin in the 505.
Imagine if they brought that out now instead of something Urus-related.
Well, because they've got the pureed sandwiches on its way, isn't it? Soon.
Is that what you call it?
What is it called? Pure sangue, I think is how it's pronounced. But yeah, I heard a rumour, because there's a couple of photos of it leaked from the factory, and it just sort of showed the front and the back, and they seem to be legit, but they don't show the sides. I've heard a rumour that it's got rear hinged back doors.
Really?
Yeah. So it's quite interesting.
What, off of MX-30 Mazda?
Yes. I was going to say Rolls Phantom, but yes, probably closer in size to an MX-30 or RX-8's had them, didn't they, sort of?
Yeah, RX-8 did. Again, a car I miss. I actually miss seeing them. And I'm excited when I see one now, even though they're worth about 36 quid.
Yeah.
But I
get
do.
To, get her to Sade's house and she'll let you have a look at her.
I still live in hope that we get an email through on this podcast from Sade or management of Sade who go, listen, we know that.
Well, now, speaking of musicians and cars, I've got there's a couple of things. What? First of all, I've got a bit of a. I feel like I've got a bit of an in with Fish.
What? The lead singer of
Out of Marillion. Yeah,
yeah.
Turns out someone I know knows him. So I've asked for more information about the cars of Fish. But in the meantime, a chap called Anthony got in touch. And
the cars of Fish.
He said, Smith and Sniff, I know you like a celebrity car story and also have a mild obsession with Marillion. Well, I used to work on Stephen Rotheray's car.
He's the one with the awful jacket on top of the Pops video, I think. No offence, obviously.
He's literally half the height of Fish. Not an inappropriate American car, as you thought, but a late 80s Porsche 944 Turbo, which had been mildly modified.
Mm.
He owned it for a number of years and think he sold it in about 2015. I was tasked with removing the mods before sale. Sorry, I have no idea what car Fish drove. Well, don't worry, Anthony, because we're onto that one. But there we go. So Marillion car information, more when we have it.
How do we go down these stupid cul-de-sacs, Richard? How do we do it?
Know.
We never once asked for really more information. I'm sure we didn't.
I
love
know.
That about our listeners. Thank you, listeners. It's brilliant.
Lead
singer of... Now, would you call Marillion soft rock? I don't know. Don't want to offend any Marillion... people.
I mean, it's not hard rock, is it? But...
oh God, no! It's like a Twix that you've left in the sun.
what do you mean? Very mushy, but then there's actually a sort of a crunchier bit underneath.
There is a crunchy, and it's sometimes a surprisingly good guitar solo or something like that. oh gosh! Why?
Now, actually, while we're doing a quick catch up, round up, whatever you call it, a stitch back desk where we're looking back at things we've mentioned in previous shows. Last week we were doing the Nissan GTR stuff,
yeah,
and chatting about how that car's been around since we believe the Iron Age, and then I found that car for sale at the GTR Heritage Centre. And was somewhat puzzled by this. Well, in our YouTube comments, the owner of the GTR Heritage Centre has piped up.
Really?
Yeah. He starts his message, ha-ha, hysterical cast. I actually own ye old GTR Centre, mentioned about 17 minutes in. Lol. We've got cars here dating back to 1964 up to the very latest 2021 track edition by Nismo. Stage 4.75433347 available with onboard donkey power and mead injection. Available for test drives.
Oh, this is lovely.
To develop a Matra Simca edition just for you guys. Don't leave a name, but anyway, if you are the owner of ye olde GTR Centre, thank you for that, and thank you for having a sense of humour about the important business of selling GTRs.
I think that's wonderful. I secretly hope that it's going to feel a little bit like the sort of Jorvik Viking Centre, so it's an immersive experience, so that when you turn up there, you can hear chickens clucking in the background, and there's maybe a sprinkling of straw on the ground.
Straw, and always they pipe straw. In smells.
They do. They pipe in smells, and there'll be some, like an old man in a smock raking or and muttering to himself, drinking out of a flagon. And all of these things to go, oh, wow, this is like a sort of period drama or something. You go, no. This is just, where we repair Nissan GTRs, actually.
Yeah, just chicken flapping past you, and you just straw everywhere. You go, no, has it had PPF, mate? Yeah, it has, yeah, cheers. Now, the Jorvik Viking Centre piping in smells always puzzle me because they're interesting, but they're not unpleasant smells, as far as I can remember.
And I remember thinking, there, and I wanted to, and I never...
Is it still going?
Oh, is it still there?
I don't know.
Hang on, let me look it up.
It feels like York would collapse without it. It was like the thing in York, apart from
it was amazing when it came out. If people from a different country are listening to this, it's not a theme park. It's a living... What would you call it? Like an immersive museum theme park?
Yeah. Did it open in the 80s? I just feel like it was sort of popular in the 80s.
Absolutely did.
But when museums were still very dusty and boring for the most part, and this was like this sort of interactive museum, and
it's open.
Know,
like it's a open right now.
Hen. Is it? Let's go.
Did you just say the just robot
get a GTR
hen.
And drive to the Jorvik Viking?
Yeah, it is.
Is it called
it
the
really
Jorvik
is.
Viking Centre?
It's called the Jorvik Viking Centre. co.uk.
Ah,
and yeah. You can call them now on 01904615505. And so there we go. Brilliant.
But then at the other end, they've just got a cup with a bit of string coming out of it. So don't expect them to actually answer.
Oh yeah, they've still got some. They've got a virtual tour on their website, and there's also a recent exhibition of a Silverdale hoard, which I believe is a large coin hoard. One of the largest coin hoards in Britain. There you go. That ends my tour of the Jorvik Viking Centre for this podcast on this particular episode. I'll do another one in a couple of weeks' time.
The thing that bothered me about the smells was I remember thinking, I bet that it didn't actually smell like this. I bet to modern nostrils it smelled absolutely disgusting.
Oh, of course. You know, silage, which I quite like the smell of. I don't mind silage.
Very
when I,
sweet. Sickly
very sweet.
Sweet. Yeah.
It seeps out of the bags. It does, though, doesn't it? Those black bags.
Yeah, well, I always think of silage as like the silage, because we used to know people who had a farm, and they had their silage heap.
Yeah,
which was all, you know, under tarp with tyres on top of it.
And car tyres, yeah, it was always old car tyres and tractor tyres. And yeah, we used to play on it, but we'd get told off for playing on it sometimes.
Yeah.
Usual situation. But yeah, I think there'd be a strong smell of silage, but also more unpleasant smells mixed in as well.
Yeah.
Probably dead animals or people.
Well, that's it. Yeah, I'm just thinking death and faeces and...
Yes.
All just general sort of unwashedness, because people didn't have soap and deodorant in the ways that we take. You know, we really have humankind has really scrubbed up, and
we've scrubbed up to the point where we've just released a load of microplastics into all the places that we rely on to live. But apart from that, we're doing really well.
Yeah, we're sort of fucked up, but we are generally quite clean. Probably, maybe cleaner than we need to be. I don't know.
I'm sure you could argue
that, you know, we could naturally be a bit musky. But this the thing. I just bet that back then it just absolutely stank.
I'm hoping now that the Jorvik Viking Centre are going to develop a magic tree to put inside your car.
The smells of
it's good PR.
A rotting dog and human feces.
Yeah, you know, like I've always wondered why. Magic Tree or another manufacturer of an air freshener for a car don't come up with a kind of vintage car smell.
Oh.
Because you can get new car smell, right?
Mm, mm.
And a lot of people comment to me about the certain smell of a classic car that's evocative, or, you know, a car that you grew up with that you just remember the smell like it was yesterday.
Yeah.
Or you own a car and one of the attracting things about it is you climb in and before you've even struck the engine up, you go... Oh, yeah. It smells of, I don't know, my dad's bad old leather jacket and rolling tobacco or whatever, or sunburnt skin.
Or the way that your hair smells after a day out in the sunshine.
Yes. Something really odd like that you can't quite put your finger on.
Mm.
I feel like maybe there should be, maybe some sort of magic tree. In fact, Richard, why have I said this out loud on a podcast? Let's develop it ourselves.
Just giving away
and
ideas
market
again.
It, and stiffly market it across this podcast. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Okay. Yeah, we'll do that. Not today, but we'll do it.
I was talking to a friend last weekend about there's a hotel that is near her house that there was rumoured to be a sort of swingers joint, and I suddenly thought. Imagine what it smells like.
Oh.
Just because what I imagine is that there's some kind of air freshener and it's just not powerful enough. So it's what you've got is that sort of overlay of as something the original, quite nice the original smelling, but sin. You know what's under there. You know what the chassis is underneath. Yes. It's just,
It's very true. It's a bit like an air freshener to try and cover up. We've said this before, you know, some sort of toilet sin. But you haven't quite, it's not quite strong enough. And there's a power struggle. What I'm saying is there's a power struggle.
It's just like.
There is a power struggle, isn't it?
Your Glade plugin's got all the faders pushed up to max. And it's just like, no, I haven't got any more in it.
It's trying to bench press a PB, isn't it? A PB of filth.
One of those little glass bottles with a load of sticks coming out the top is like absolutely pinned to the floor in second. But unfortunately, the Lamboon is winning.
Who needs a Tyson Fury fight? I just want to put these two in the ring. In the blue corner, a pot of, I don't know what it is, but it's got sticks sticking out of it. Infused, apparently.
I think it's from the White Company, probably.
Yeah, in the right-hand corner, a pavement pizza outside Iceland on Saturday morning. Interesting.
Well, I actually
wrote down something to talk about, but I
did I tell you how my wife got her hair trapped in the sunroof of our car?
What? Which car?
Range Rover. So what? It was a beautiful day. We're all driving along as a family. Lovely sunny day. Open the sunroof. It's nice. My wife's she loves a car with a sunroof because she grew up in Arizona where you wouldn't really have a car with a sunroof because it's too hot for the most part.
Oh, it's a novelty to her.
It's a bit of a novelty, and so she absolutely loves a sunroof. She has an above average interest in sunroofs, I would say. And,
I love that.
Yeah, it's a thing. She just thought it's one of those things where it rarely occurs to me to open the sunroof on a car, weirdly. With a convertible, I'd have the top down loads. I can't. It really annoys me when you see people with convertible cars and you go, it's a lovely
day.
What are you doing?
Yeah, I agree. Very much agree.
But a sunroof, I just forget about it. Or I forget that it opens because, you know, some cars with glass roofs, it doesn't. But we open the sunroof and we're cruising along. It's lovely. But then we got onto a faster road and it's getting a bit blustery. And it was sucking her hair up out of the sunroof to the amusement of our children. And then I went, we should probably close that because it's getting a bit. And she's like, yeah, I know, it's really messing with my hair. And she sort of swooshed her hair down as she went for the button to close the sunroof, but not enough. And there was still a big strand of hair, which then got trapped in the sunroof. And she was caught in this thing where she was suddenly panicked. She's like, it's got my hair, but then couldn't, because she didn't want to sort of move her head too much. She couldn't look up to locate the switch. So I was like, don't just hold on, I've got it. And it was a moment of panic because, of course, I was driving, so I couldn't give it my full attention. But I was conscious that my wife was effectively sort of hanging from the roof of the car. So,
amazing.
Yeah, a hidden danger of sun. I've never seen that happen before. I don't know whether it's some kind of, you know, aerodynamic quality of that car particularly or what, but it just, it sucked some hair into the sunroof as it closed. And if she'd been on her own, she may have been trapped there for a while.
I never knew that anyone had trapped their hair in a sunroof, but I have two related short stories, so don't worry, they're short. one of them was when I first drove the Ford GT, which was, 2004, was it?
I guess so.
The one which Jeremy Clarkson famously bought and then sold instantly.
Yes.
I trapped my hair, at the time I had a lot of hair, I trapped my hair in the door because, you know, the door cuts in, doesn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
And as soon as I'd done it, I realised what I'd done and I sort of froze and I couldn't really reach to get the... I hurt my hair. I didn't lose hair because of it, but I did trap my hair in it. So that's my first memory of the Ford GT, along with Martin Brundle flying in and pointing at it and going, I've got an hour before I've got to fly to the GP. Give me the Ford GT keys, I'll make something happen. And he went off and, yeah.
Where was this?
I was working on Car Magazine at the time.
Oh, right.
And we were doing Performance Car of the Year off of Anglesey Circuit. And they'd hired, or I don't know, sweet-talked Martin Brundle, and he flew in en route to... a Grand Prix he was going to. And the chopper landed, still rotors spinning. Picture this, slow motion, very, very thin necklace chain, slightly unbuttoned shirt, gets off and basically just says hi, and but points at this red Ford GT press car and says, let's take that out, let's see what we can do. And then just goes for an absolute screech around the circuit in it. And then the guy, his pilot, I don't know if it was his helicopter or not, the pilot said, oh, well, if you want to get any photographs from up there, so the photographer got in the chopper and hovered over the start-finish straight, and we got some epic shots of the Ford's GT. Sorry, I forgot to say Ford properly originally. Mm-hmm. So that was fun.
This was a separate instance of you getting your hair trapped, though.
No, this was the same day.
Yeah, but you weren't in the car with Brundle, unable to tell him that your head was trapped against the ceiling.
No, I didn't. I was very low in the rankings at the magazine, so I didn't really get a chance to speak to Brundle very much. Although I've since met him again a few times. In fact, with you, met him in California.
Oh, yes, of course.
But
I love how casually we just...
He's a nice guy.
I know him a little bit from seeing him around. I think the last time I saw him, he called me a bandit, but I think he meant it as a compliment.
Really?
Yeah. Actually, well, he didn't say the bandit directly to me. I was talking to him, and a guy came up and said, "Oh, Martin, how are you doing?" Someone he knew in the motorsport world, and then Brundle went, "Oh, by the way, Steve, do you know this bandit, Richard Porter?" And I was a bit like, "I think it's a compliment."
I quite like that.
I don't know.
Brundle's bandits. You're a member
Brundle's
of his
bandits.
Clan.
Yeah.
It's him. You. You're all outlaws. You live by your own rules.
Yeah.
What do? You ride motorbikes without helmets. Yeah.
Very thin gold chains is the way that you identify fellow gang members.
it's not a backpatch club. It's a thin necklace club. It's a little bit more covert. There was another incident that I was going to say, but I got carried away talking about Martin Brundle. Choppers.
Getting your hair trapped? Have you got more than one getting your hair trapped story, in which case I'd say that's two more than most people.
There was one
more than my wife.
No, there was another. Oh, I know, sunroof. It's not as interesting as that. I actually opened the sunroof on a courtesy car yesterday because it was a warm day, but I don't like air conditioning and I wanted to make a phone call, so I didn't want to crack the windows down. So I just cheekily tilted the sunroof and it was bliss. It's absolute bliss.
Tilted.
I did a cheeky tilt. One button to tilt, two pushes to slide all the way back. Amazing.
I always think of as a smoker's tilt, isn't it, I think?
A smoker's tilt.
A smoker's tilt.
I love that.
Like, you just tilt it just to get a bit of airflow through.
Where's
without
to get
having
the,
to,
it's
know,
the tobacco.
The
it's the nicotine venturi.
Yes.
Isn't it that you want to create? You have to get the airflow rushing through, but it not be noisy and irritating.
Yeah.
That's the key, isn't it?
I have to ask, courtesy car. Yeah. What was the courtesy car and why?
I'm glad you mentioned it. Thanks, Richard. the Jimny is overdue for two recalls. It's needed two recalls for some time, but there's been a real backlog or back order, should I say, of the parts required for the recalls. And the recalls are it has to have the fuel pump changed and it has to have the door harness changed, both door harnesses.
What?
Yeah, all the wiring into the doors, apparently.
Because of what?
I don't know. I mean, there's no technology in the doors, so I don't know.
Yeah. Although, Toyota had that trouble back when they just seemed to be having in recall hell. They had an issue with the electric window switches.
Ah.
And they were getting too hot or something, or they could do. I forget.
And the wiring was maybe getting a little bit...
Something. There was something where there was just this, like, sort of, you know, a million in one chance that in certain circumstances... It could get so hot that you go, "Ooh, my switches are a bit hot," and they decide to recall every car they've ever made.
Okay, interesting. So the Jimny's gone in for the recall, okay, and it's quite an involved job. So the fuel pump, So they said Suzuki were really good actually, and they were like, "Why don't you just take this?" And it's an SX4 Is it an SX4 S-Cross? It's got all these badges on the back. I'll show you the picture. I was chuckling. SX4 S-Cross Hybrid All Grip. That's four separate badges all on one side of the boot, which I love. But you know what? I looked at it and went, well, you know, it's just it's a fairly generic looking car. I got in it, drove it home, and it's so quick. It's really quick, and I'm not joking. It's so much faster and more eager than you're expecting it to be. I had an absolute hoot driving it back. I'm gonna take it out for a blat later on today. Really enjoy myself. I mean, I know it's a courtesy car. They are the fastest cars on earth. I could have taken my Gordon Murray T33 in for a service, and they could have given me a Fiat Punto. And we all know the Punto would have been quicker than the T33. This is knowledge.
I think actually that's Gordon Murray does have an old Punto, doesn't he? For as a courtesy car for his customers.
I hope he does. Would he go Panda? He'd probably go Panda.
Ooh, for lightness, would go Panda. Yes, you're right.
But he hasn't told anyone, but he put a stage 4.278 tune in it.
Oh, by the way, sorry, I forgot to say earlier on we were talking about Skyline, or GTRs again, rather.
Yeah.
Quite a few people got in touch to point out the stage 4.25 tune that we were puzzled by in some of those GTR ads. It's a Litchfield thing, apparently.
Oh, is it?
Various people pointed that out. But yeah, it is a known thing in the GTR world because it's a Litchfield tune for those cars. So.
Right, okay. So it's
that's
us.
That one sorted. It's us just not knowing enough, yeah.
Just being idiots, yeah. Sort. Okay. I'd like someone to write down what the sort of like a medical paper of what the true definitions of stage 1 to 5 is.
I don't know that it's, but it's just such a fluid thing, isn't it? It's almost like exchange rates or stocks and shares, you know, it just moves on a daily basis.
Well, could someone write, could we have a paper written on all of the cars and all of their stages?
I just think at the end of Newsnight, they maybe just go, just a quick look at the markets.
FTSE 100
is down against the yen, but slightly up against the dollar to 142. And finally, stage 2. Up slightly now includes a competition air filter and braided hoses. That's it. That's all we've got time for. Thank you for watching.
That's a wonderful thing. Can we do that?
Yeah, well, we do. It's also like I've told you before about our mate Jim. You know Jim, and Jim and I, when we worked on Top Gear in the early days, we used to drive down to the studio at Dunsfold together every Wednesday morning, and we would stop at the same petrol station every week and get a coffee. And what we developed was that this petrol station had, at that point, quite a high collection of smut mags on its top shelf.
Oh, gosh, right.
And so the game was one of us would go and get the coffee machine going, while the other one walked over to the smut shelf and would then, bear in mind it was usually about sort of 6:30 in the morning, there's no one else in there. The other one would have to start reading out the smut mag headlines in the style of Jeremy Paxman at the end of Newsnight.
Oh, God.
So, you know, he would sort of go, the sun, go with political crisis, consumes government. And so it would be, so you'd get the coffee machine going and one of us would be standing over there going, Razzle, going with lick my titties, and men only, bend me over and slap my big bum. That's it. That's all it's time for. Thank you for watching. And
men only. Oh, gosh.
Does men only still go? This is about 2003. So, I mean, geez, it's almost 20 years ago. Mm. I don't really know the state of the grot mag market these days. I'm always amazed when occasionally you see one. The Smutsy 100 index.
The Smutsy 140. Well, I'm sure someone listening to this podcast knows the state of affairs for that kind of thing.
Yeah.
On that side of things. That's what it would be called. It'd be the Smutsy Otsot, wouldn't it?
Smutsy Otsot.
It's a legitimate currency. It's completely legitimate. It's a market. It's always fares well against oil and gas.
Yeah,
I find.
I feel like we've come off the tracks a little bit here. But,
yeah, we have.
Can we talk about those messages from your dad that you forwarded to me?
yes, from Bob. Yeah, WhatsApps from Bob.
I'm always mildly not horrified, but embarrassed to be reminded that your parents listen to this podcast.
Oh, I know. I don't like the fact they listen to it. I love my parents, they're great, but I wish they wouldn't listen to this. I can't force them not to.
No, it's really sweet.
It's a free.
They're listening to your work. Are they doing it to sort of see what you're up to because you don't ring them enough?
I think it's a combination of that, but also it's just they're proud of my work. Although I probably wouldn't listen to Smith and Sniff if my son had done it. But there we go.
I certainly wouldn't be proud of it. It's really nice that they do and they are. So
I get the occasional message sort of saying I enjoyed that bit. That bit wasn't so good. So this one I might get and really enjoyed the Jorvik Vikings Centre. Forgot that it was still very successful enterprise. Didn't enjoy the bit about where you were talking about men only. Yeah, not so
no,
much that.
No, just you have to be so smutty. Well, this is it. I remember, or you remind me that your parents listened. I'm like, oh my God, we swore in the last one. In fact, we swore. We swear in all of them. And
yeah,
I wouldn't swear in front of your parents. They're your parents.
Like, yeah, I know. It's difficult for me, Richard. It's difficult for me.
Well, maybe we should try and do a non. Swearing, because we sometimes get messages from listeners and they go, oh, we're listening in the car as a family. And I'm like, oh, family? Who was there? Like, children? I hope children weren't there because we did a whole sequence about Bongo Mags.
We should do a clean version, a DPF clean version. Yeah. You know what I mean? You cut it open,
Euro
6
compatible.
Out.
Yeah.
Should we do a clean edition?
I don't know. It's too late now, but next week. I really hate beeps. I hate beeping out swearing. It's just it just annoys. Yeah, I mean, obviously you have to sometimes. I don't hate it if it's sort of mandated by Ofcom because it's a TV show that's going out at 7 in the evening. But
yeah.
I just in something like this, I just think everyone knows swear words. But I suppose if you're playing it in front of children, maybe I don't know. Next week we'll try not to swear. Let's see if we can do it.
I actually can't remember the messages that my parents sent me that you wanted to talk about.
You forwarded them to me, and I know, when was it? I know that the first one made me giggle hysterically in an airport, so it was probably about 2 weeks ago when I went to
I'm just scrolling.
I'm going back through messages you've sent me, and there's so much, what a rich seam of nonsense. There's this clip you sent me of Quincy Jones. In the studio with Herbie Hancock, where Quincy Jones suddenly produces a glass of wine quite close to a fairlight.
Like hovering over an expensive synthesizer with a glass of white.
Steady, Quincy. Steady. Yeah. How many of those have you had? Those things are about $10,000 each.
Yeah. The reason why I sent that to you is because I actually wanted, it would have been two podcasts ago now, wanted to just say happy birthday to Herbie Hancock, but it's obviously a little bit late now,
it's
so
a bit
I won't.
Late.
Yeah, but anyway, Herbie was like 83 3 weeks ago or something, and he's still got the AC Cobra that he bought brand new in 1962.
Seriously,
and the man is even more of a dude than I thought he was.
Oh, that's really cool.
And I thought I'd mention that because Jay Leno did a cool piece on going out for a drive with him in it and just talking about the backstory of why on earth he owns it and why on earth he's kept it for so long. And it's just wonderful. You should...
Did Leno go, come on, Herbie, let's go out for a drive. We'll leave Quincy here. And Quincy Jones just sort of pouring himself another enormous Merlot and going, yeah, you're okay, guys.
No, Quincy's like, I'll follow behind him, my Cadillac Seville.
No, please don't. Quincy, you've had a bottle and a half of Zinfandel. Please stay here. They get back and he's like, oh, Herbie, man, I'm so sorry. Seems to have spilt something on your DX7.
I fell asleep on the mixing desk.
I fell asleep on the emulator and it's just been going for about an hour.
I fell asleep at work on a keyboard once. I'm pretty sure I mentioned this in a Smith & Sniff video blooming years ago. Yeah,
I feel like
did a bit of day drinking, which I wasn't used to because I was only 19. It was my first proper job, and I had to put my head down for a while. I don't put it down onto the keyboard. Yeah, it was just pages of nonsense.
Oh man, you know it was my birthday last week.
And
I managed to do 5 days of things because I had back to back gigs, which was nice. But then I also had lunch out with some friends. I had dinner out with some other friends, and then my wife and I the day after my birthday, which I started referring to as birthday Boxing Day, we went to the pub for lunch, just the two of us, and then it started absolutely wazzing it down, and I hadn't brought a coat. And we got the dog with us, and I didn't want her to get wet because she stinks when she's wet. So I just went, well, we better stay here. So we stayed in the pub and had a couple more pints. And amazing. It was a proper day drinking. But that was the last of my 5 days of really milking my birthday. And the following day, I felt the worst. It's like I sustained for 5 days going, oh, I feel all right. You feel okay? It's all right. Yeah, oh, getting old is okay.
Was it that bad? Yeah,
the sixth day. I was just like, ugh, really, like a damp bag. It was just horrible. Oh. Anyway, that'll teach me.
That'll learn you.
I've just looked, one of these messages, I realised we had an exchange, because I asked you what Michael McDonald drives, I think because I was somewhere where they were playing Michael McDonald. And
was it Yammo B there? Would have been, wouldn't it?
I can't remember.
Sweet Freedom.
Oh, it was... Yeah. Because I was suggesting he drives a Cadillac Elante, and you're suggesting was he used to have a shat Cadillac, but these days he's gone Palm Springs Lexus with a corded mic in the centre armrest that he can sing lyrics into.
Michael McDonald's got quite a big face from him, a bit like Kenny Rogers. So I'm thinking he will have those sunglasses which have a folding nose bridge and they fit into the belt.
Shit, petrol station aviators. They don't sit straight. They never sit straight.
And across the top, they'll have a sort of speedy font, and it'll say something like Speedster.
Yeah.
Or Fastlane. It'll say Fastlane. Yeah. And you just go, what? On glasses? Yeah.
Something really inexplicable, like yacht magic down one arm. But they don't. They make you look like you're Eric Morecambe doing a skit because they sit at such an angle on your face. It looks like you're doing it for comic effects. You go, Michael, what's the gag here? I'm not seeing it. What are you talking about? You're sunk. Oh, never mind.
It's the folding nose bridge glasses that someone's already sat on. And they're like, that's it.
he just folded them up, but he put them in his front trouser pocket for some reason without the case.
And oh, it's trash.
It's just microscopically sent everything a little bit more out of whack, and that's...
Well, you need to put them on a jig. Dreams. Got to put them on a specialist jig.
There's not a jig made that can pull them back to straight, because they're always going to be slightly on the bonk.
An aviator sunglasses accident jig that Michael McDonald... McDonald has invested in.
He's finally got sick of everyone taking the piss out of him, and so yeah, he's invested millions in developing a foldable faux aviator jig that can bring them back to true. Still doesn't work.
You got to leave them on there for like a month just to get it right. They tweaks it ever
but
so
then
slightly.
He's driving out to a gig in Reno with the roof back on his SC430.
Oh, he's got an SC430, yep, he has.
And just the heat alone microscopically warps the thin, cheap metal arms of his petrol station aviator. And he's back to square one. Just buy some Ray-Bans, Michael. You're a well-to-do man. No, I love these. I've had them since 1984.
Well, not only that, though, because they're petrol station glasses, he buys them at sort of 10 at a time and puts them in different drawers in different cars. And it tells me, but none of them quite fit, do they? So
these ones have Ferrari written on them, but with only one R in the middle.
Oh, yeah, that's right. There'd be a silhouette of a raging bull, but it'll say Maserati on it with a Z. Oh, gosh, well, we're a pair of tossers, aren't we?
I found the message that you forwarded to me from your dad.
Oh.
It says, by the way, Mum said to me the other day, Jonathan and Richard say twat a lot. I know it's rude, but I don't know what it means. My standard reply to this, and why does he talk about Brian so much, is you'll have to ask him. I hope she does, or I'll have to stop being a coward and explain.
Oh, Dad. I'm sorry. Oh, my throat hurts after that. I do remember him sending me that. Bless him.
I didn't think we did say twat that much, but clearly we're not. We're just, it's a swearing free-for-all, isn't it? So I now feel like I'm interrupting family business. This is not mine.
Buzznuss, yeah.
Buzznuss.
What was the next one? He sent me another one about a Suzuki Splash.
I just realised I sent you all of the lyrics of that mad Italian song that,
oh,
that
gosh,
you found.
That was embarrassing.
Which, what's it called? Ma quale idea?
It was awful. Just awful.
But sort of mesmerisingly awful.
Yeah. He's probably made a handsome living from it and bedded many sweethearts off the back of it
almost
in
certainly.
The 80s.
Oh, yes, I've got the one about the splash. Here you go.
Was that the follow-up
you
from
said,
my dad?
Latest message from my dad. And the message is, followed a splash with Sue fucking Zuki decal below number plate and skull on the parcel shelf. Coming the other
that.
Way was a modern Citroen, the shape reminiscent of the DS19. Mum mentioned you say twat too much again.
with a
just
sort
love
of
that as a footnote. It's yeah. Does your dad message you a lot?
Yeah, they both enjoy a bit of WhatsApp. Dad's a big fan of WhatsApp. Yeah.
Oh.
Mm. I'll sometimes get pictures of things he's seen on his walks or his. Yeah, he's good. I was trying to remember what was the modern Citroen that he saw? What would it have been? A modern Citroen reminiscent of the shape of the DS19. Because Dad remembers that when the DS19 was launched, he said it was incredible, like a spaceship.
Yeah.
He said if you saw one driving down, you know, a drab street in Leicester, it just looked like something dropped from another planet.
Blow your mind.
But I don't know what that would be. What would that be? Modern Citroen. That looks like a DS19.
You're going to have to ask him.
Yeah, well, I'll ask him. But unfortunately, he might follow it up with, Mum's also mentioned again about TW ampersand T or whatever.
Well, anyway, the good news for your mum and people who listen with children is next week it's no swearing.
Is it?
Yeah, all clean, all day. Smith and Smith. We'll forget. I'm sure we'll forget. And one of us will say fanny batter by mistake.
Catalytic converter edition. All clean. All of the time.
I sort of feel like, Smith and Sniff might have, like car makers in the 80s might have inadvertently tried to go down the lean burn route.
Well, I like a bit of lean burn.
Do you remember when lean burn, they were going, oh, lean burn might be better than doing cats. Just Ford had a bit of a thing with lean burn, didn't they? But
yeah.
I don't know, was it bollocks? I can't remember.
This Honda Insight of mine has lean burn mode.
Does it? Well, yeah, I think a lot of cars do, don't they? Still have cats.
Yeah.
There's nothing wrong with lean burn per se, but just in terms of cleaning up emissions, it possibly wasn't as effective as the catalyst. And of course, it used less in the way of precious metals.
Precious metals.
Look, we should probably just stop this.
Yeah, we
now.
Should. I think that's enough. That's enough silly bants for the week.
Stop
Although,
it.
Thanks to everyone that mentions that they listen to this and it peps
yes.
up their Mondays.
Yeah, we suddenly had a flurry of really nice messages last week, and it was just like, oh, why is everyone being nice to us? I mean, there's been no significant change in the quality of the show.
Yeah.
That's for sure. I did want to say, Charlie Bird, the chap who tried to get references to this show into a post-race interview, listened to you saying that you wanted to sponsor his racing car, and he has said he's going to try and stick some stickers on his M3.
Get out. Really?
So thank you, Charlie. Yeah, we need to actually message Charlie and see if we can we'll sort him out with some stickers.
We'll get some decals, yeah.
Get that all arranged.
Oh, thank you, Charlie.
But I realised when I listened back to that podcast that at some point you used the phrase toss cars, and I suddenly thought toss cars was quite a good name for a race series. And in fact, perhaps Charlie would like to compete in it.
Do I say toss cars?
You said toss cars, as in cars that are tossed. But I thought that, like, you've got Champ Car and Euro Cars and all these sort of things. I thought toss cars is quite a good. It would be like a sort of Lemons style racing series.
Oh, I'd like that very much. I'd love to do a Lemons style event or gather thingy, whatever.
Johnny Smith's toss cars.
Johnny Smith's toss.
Where would you have it though? Somewhere a bit you know. You wouldn't have had a Silverstone. It's too prestigious.
No, it'd be one of those gloomy airfields that isn't marked out with any kind of particular track. So there's just like, you know, on the horizon, there's like a 12-inch high cone that looks like a speck of dirt when you're doing 100 miles an hour. It'd be one of those. I've done a few track days at those and I've nearly come a cropper. Yeah. So I'm dude, can we not get some better markers? I'm concentrating on, like, you know, hanging on in there on the car.
Yeah. It's quite an interesting place, though, isn't it? Because it's always got a really, really big hangar that's now being used by, like, a pallet company or something.
Always. And there's also, and they never tell you what might be in the grass. So if you cut the corner or you have a bit of a moment and you think, oh, it's okay, it's just a load of sort of like, you know, marsh grass. No, it's not. There's a massive Cold War block of something in there and it's going to do you.
Yes.
It's going to do you.
Oh, yeah. That's where they used to keep the warheads. Sorry, we should have warned you. Oh, by the way, there's a bit of the airfield you can't go in, which is denoted only by a row of cones because it's used for the police training school or a company that stores cherry pickers.
Oh, yeah. Very true. It's so true. We've just described all of the airfields in the UK. Yeah, so true.
Well, if you own one of these things and the company that stores cherry pickers aren't taking up too much room, Johnny would like to hold his inaugural Toss Cars Racing.
I would, actually.
There, please.
Well, Wayne Carini's got chasing classic cars. I mean, Johnny Smith chases tossy cars. I think it could be quite nice, couldn't it? And on that note...
On that note, before we go, I've got three things to tell you. They are, one, Johnny has a solo YouTube channel. It's called The Small Owl Show, in which he meets people who collect porcelain ornaments of owls. and then tries to steal one or smash it without them noticing. If that's not up your street, then try The Late Break Show, which has got many wonderful videos about cars. And we have news.
News.
Late Break Show Live is back. It's happening later this year.
It is. Summer.
Summer.
August.
August. First weekend off.
In the middle of the country. In a field.
So go on, yes.
That was it. That was my big ramp.
I was going to say, bearing in mind, just before we started recording, you had to ask me to remind you of the dates.
Yes.
But I believe it's the 6th and 7th of August. So,
yes.
Two days.
Two shows, we'd love you to come. All of the, if you went to any of the Late Break Show on tour events last year, it's kind of more of the same. It'll be larger, hopefully, but the same caliber of vehicles, same silliness on stage, and the same really cool people that turn up and buy a ticket. That's you, in brackets.
Yeah. Nice people, and car people.
Yeah. A good mix of all the playlists that the show has, so EV, classic, modified, barn find, probably some two-wheel shizzle, and also probably some trade stands. And Richard will be there, obviously.
I'll be there.
On stage, there. Chatting.
We're on stage.
And off stage, chatting.
We go and work the crowd and chat to people and things, but we'll be on stage and we'll do a quiz and we'll do a Q&A and probably a few other things on stage as well.
We'll be reenacting a car chase from from A Touch of Frost in 1993.
In a new segment we're calling Low Speed Car Chase Roundup.
That's right. Yes.
Can't afford to get the footage all described.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. No, but we'd love it. Yes. In all seriousness. We'll put the link in the show notes below of how you can find out more. I mean, the website, thelatebreakshow.com, will tell you everything you need to know. But wonderful to have you along on that side of things.
Yeah. Yeah. It's true. Second thing I've got to tell you is I've got various books out, but you know that, so I'm not going to tell you what they're called. We've also got merchandise relating to Smith & Sniff. Go to thelatebreakshow.com while you're looking at the live show date, 6th and 7th of August, remember, and go and buy a Smith & Sniff t-shirt or a mug or a sticker or something like that.
Yeah, I've got a mug right here. I'm drinking out of it, and I'm not afraid to tell you. Yeah.
The third thing I've got to tell you is that the first ever branch of Spudulike was opened in Edinburgh.
What? Really?
Yeah, that's such a rubbish fact. But I saw it the other day and I thought, I'm having that nonetheless.
What Spud you like?
To sum up,
I reckon, to sum up, I don't think Harry Ramsden has ever really made fish and chips, and that's why every time I've had a Harry Ramsden's fish and chips, it's been disappointing.
Really?
I don't think they really know how to fry fish and chips.
I haven't had a Harry Ramsden's for years. I suspect they've diluted the brand by opening lots of branches, haven't they? But when it just used to be like that one in Yorkshire, I went there and it was nice.
That's because probably Harry was still frying the fish. Now it's others. It's no good. Noel Gallagher's extra long, thin Brundle bracelets.
I thought you were going to say Noel Gallagher's high fructose corn syrup for some reason.
Do you know, you said it, you messaged me the other day and I did howl. What was it, Noel Gallagher's unregistered cars? What was it called?
No, I think it was Noel Gallagher's delivery mileage Fiestas, which I don't know why, it doesn't even work with the high thing, but it's just because it popped into my head and I couldn't stop thinking about it.
Noel Gallagher's pre-registered Fiestas.
Yeah, that's it. He loves a bargain. So he waits till the end of the month and he's combing his local dealerships just looking for some pre-reg cars they need to get shot of, and he'll buy one for him and one for his girlfriend, and then there'll be one of those people who've got two of the same car.
But one of the, his girlfriend's name is on the books, so he just siphons them through, doesn't he?
All right, well, there we go.
We've not brought this one into land very quickly.
At all, no. It's circling the airfield. Desperately shedding
or the drain
bits of engine.
Yes.
Oh, the drain.
I've gashed me sump on some hidden Cold War concrete and I'm off.
I feel like one of these weeks, I'm just going to put a fade on it and we'll just keep talking. I'll just slowly fade it out.
Shall we?
Carry
like a prog rock track.
I was expecting the music, but no. Let's just assume they kept on talking for another 19 minutes and everybody just slowly walked away.
And just bring in like a track like Two Tribes Going to War by Frankie Goes to Hollywood. You know, something like that. That, I think, if anyone can put that on at the end, so we'd have to pay royalties, that'd be great.
We can't, copyright reasons, but you just hum it in.